It's a privilege for me to be here and be with you. I've heard so many good things about you. I was here for one service a year ago in a Wednesday night, but so glad I get to be here all week. And hope that many of you get some schedules freed up so you're able to come. And I know some of you can't at all, but you just love God and you'll be here in spirit. But as many of you as possible, we sure love to have you. And when we get together, we build each other. So really encourage you to be here if you can. And I'm really grateful that I get to be here a whole week. Looking forward to it. Let's take our Bibles. And if you will, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53 this morning. Isaiah chapter 53. And if you don't mind, let's stand together out of respect for God's word. Isaiah 53. I would like to begin reading in Isaiah 53 at verse 11. Isaiah 53, and actually we'll back up to verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. Thank you, and you may be seated. There are a lot of schools today that are training people in various areas, from engineering to science to mathematics to garbage collecting and to everything, selling clothes. And there's a lot of knowledge out there in this world, but the most important knowledge that a person could ever gain is knowledge about Jesus Christ. Now, this passage is saying, 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born, actually a little over 700 years, that the day would come that the knowledge of Christ's righteous servant would justify many. And it's a prophecy about Jesus Christ coming to the earth and what he would do for man. And what he would do would justify many. That means it would make them no longer sinners and no longer judged for their sin, but instead they would go to heaven and have eternal life. Now, there are so many benefits from education, but the greatest education with the greatest benefit is the education about this righteous servant. Now, some of you may be around church a lot, and even as being around church a lot, you can get used to the knowledge that you've got, and we don't ever want to get used to it. I preach in Liberia a lot. And in the country of Liberia, I love to hear those men pray. And when they're done praying, they'll usually, or even when they're starting, they'll often pray thanking God for sending Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And as this is the Palm Sunday, we think about the triumphal entry of Jesus. And we think about the Lord at this time going through this Friday. We're going to go to Good Friday where we remember the cross. And then next week, of course, Easter, he was resurrected from the dead. But when I'm over in Liberia, I just love to hear him pray. And they'll say things like, "Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the earth to save us from our sins. And for this, we say thank you." And all the people in the congregation together go, "Thank you. I never heard that before. And we want to thank you for your great mercy and not sending us to the damnation that we deserve in hell. And for this, we say thank you." And all the crowd goes, "Thank you." And it's kind of a nice thing. And you see the appreciation that they have. And frankly, sometimes in the United States, I preach about the very same things, but we don't have the appreciation. Now, we need appreciation for Jesus. Amen? And so we look at this today, and I'm going to just start this service and this week of meetings by looking at Jesus. And if there are some here that you don't know that you're going to heaven, here's what you need. You need knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Knowledge of Jesus. And if you get the knowledge of Jesus, you can have the justification. You can have the salvation. And then there are others that already know Jesus, but we need to have a knowledge of what he has done so we together in our hearts say thank you and live our lives for him. Now, the first thing that I'm going to look at in this passage, there are several things. Number one, knowledge of his sacrifice. Now, notice what it says in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering or a sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament, sacrifice, somebody had sinned and done wrong and he was going to be punished for his sin. But then God made a way for him to not be punished. He could offer sacrifice. It was usually a lamb. And they would take the lamb, and the lamb would be killed, and then the one who had sinned could live. Now, the punishment for sin that the man had done would be put on the lamb. And the lamb would die so the man could live. And this is what Jesus wants to do for us. He wants to be our sacrifice, our substitute, our lamb. Now, we're all sinners, and I am a sinner, too. But someone told me about the sacrifice of Jesus, and that's what we all had to take if we would ever have our sins removed and our punishment removed from us. Now, they would take a lamb, they would put their hand on the head of a lamb, and the man who had sinned would be in his mind transferring his sin from himself to the lamb. And they would slice the throat of the lamb, and the blood would come, and the lamb would die. And the lamb would die so the man would not have to die. Now, there are three parts to an Old Testament sacrifice. The first would be there would be conviction of sin. So the man knew that he had done wrong. And he knew that there would be a consequence from it, for it. Now, the next thing, then, is there would be a transfer of guilt. So as he had put his hand on the head of the lamb, he was in his heart and by faith transferring his sin from himself to that lamb. And when he was doing it, number three, there would be faith in that man and a promised deliverer. The lamb itself could never take away the man's sin. And it says that the blood of lambs could never take away a man's sin. But when they would lay their hand on the lamb and transfer in their mind to the lamb the sins they have done, they were in essence saying, I believe in the Lamb of God that will one day come to take away our sins. And John the Baptist looked at Jesus one day and identified Jesus, said, behold, there he is. Look, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. In Isaiah 53, it's talking about the righteous servant and it's talking about the Messiah. And it is definitely talking about Jesus. Now, as we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, we know that that's the day that Jesus went into the triumphal entry. Everybody said, Hosanna, Hosanna, which is Hasha, Anna, Hasha, Anna. And you put it together, it is Hashana, Hosanna. And it is a prophecy saying, we save us, we beseech thee, O Lord. Psalms 118. But really what is happening is they were looking to Jesus to save them from Roman rule. And Jesus will get to that. But what Jesus primarily came for the first time was to save men from their sins. Now, you and I that are on our way to heaven have a lot to thank God for. And we need to never forget that every one of us was on our way to hell. And every one of us was guilty. And we can say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. And for all of us together, we could say, for this, we say, thank you. And those of you that have not yet done this, you need knowledge today. You know a lot. You know a lot about what you're good at. you have a lot of training in areas that would blow me away. And I don't consider myself to be a deep thinker, a highly educated man, though I do have a 4-year Bachelor of Arts degree. I do know a little bit about woodworking. I do know a little bit about sheetrocking. But I don't know half of what this crowd knows. And I got a feeling that some of you know more in your pinky than I do in my whole body. And I have high respect for that. But I am saying this. You have got to get knowledge of Jesus. And you need Jesus to take your sins away. And as we're in this time and season of the Easter season and the Passover and Palm Sunday, and then the Good Friday, it's a reminder of us all needing the righteous servant. And that is as a sacrifice. Now, first, he was sacrificed for us, and to this we say thank you. And Iberians that all say thank you all together, and I really like that. Now, as he's talking about knowledge of God's righteous servant, we need to have knowledge he suffered for us. He suffered for us. Now, I want you to notice verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed and prolong his days. It says also in verse 11, he, God the Father, shall see the suffering or the travail of his soul. Now, the passage reminds us what Jesus did for us as we're going into the week. Right, one thing that happened was he was wounded for us. Right, as you take your Bibles, you notice this in the context. Notice what it says in verse 5. But he, the righteous servant, the Messiah, was wounded. And how was he wounded and why? For our transgressions. Now, as you look over what Jesus went through, he was wounded in many different ways, and we'll just remind ourselves of this today. Now, the first way that we'll look at this is we could read Mark chapter 15, and it talks about many of the wounds that he went through on our behalf. Mark 15:15, and so Pilate, willing to attend the people, released Barabbas and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. The soldiers led him away to the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. They clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns, put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. Now, the first thing they did was they beat him with a cat of nine tails, and he was wounded. Now, being beaten with a cat of nine tails, it is a handle with nine leather strips. On the end of the leather strips are tied pieces of 3 or 4 inch long, sharp rock, bone, and metal. They would tie a man spread eagle in the air through 4 rings, sometimes one ring dangling in the air. Other times, they would bend his body over a rack and tie his wrists to his ankles, stretching his back and making his skin tight. Now, once the criminal or the person was secured, a Roman soldier would take the whip, the cat of nine tails, and he'd pull it back, and with a mighty arm, he'd lash it across his back, and when he did, he'd snap it. And when he would snap it, the leather would snap, shoot the bone rock in the middle right into a man's back. Then they'd jerk it, and it would take 9 rolls of skin off of the man's back. He was wounded. They beat him 13 times from the left side, 13 times from the right, 13 times straight down the center, ripping flesh in all directions. After that, a man's back was wounded. Blood everywhere. Emaciated flesh. He was wounded. And for this, we say thank you. Amen. It says they planted a crown of thorns and they put it about his head. If you go to Israel today, you'll find the thorns are not little, but they're up to 6 inches long. They made it in a circle, put it on his head, they made fun of him, took a rod, and smote him on the head with a reed. Now, just hitting him on the head would wound him, but then they drove the thorns in. Now, the thorns would pierce his skin, no doubt. I wasn't there, neither were you, but we know. The crown of thorns would just stick right into his skin. If they hit it again, it would sink into his skin. And they hit it again, it would go behind his skin. And it hit the skull, no doubt, not going through the bone, but went down deep behind the skin. And there was blood, and there were wounds. And for this we say thank you. Now then the Bible teaches that they clothed him with purple, and how long was that on his back, we don't know, but maybe it had time to coagulate, and shortly before they crucified him, they ripped off the robe, and if his blood began to dry, they would have reopened the wounds. Psalm 22 is a messianic prophecy, and in verse 14 he says, I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint. You know what that teaches? They pulled his bones out of joint before they crucified him. I didn't know that. He was wounded. And then it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. That's a 10 to 12 inch railroad size spike nail right through the hand and right through the foot. He was wounded for our transgressions. And as we remember this week, we've got to get that heart the Liberians have. For this, we say thank you. And for those of you that do not know that you're on your way to heaven, you are smarter than me, I'll guarantee you. Ask my brother. I'm not very smart. But I do know what I know, some knowledge that has changed everything for me and will for you. You have to have knowledge of Jesus. Just think about this, his suffering. Now, if somebody was to take me, two or three people, and they were have two of them pull my hand back, clear off this table, and put my hand down to that table, and take a spike, another person, stick it there on my wrist, and pound it. And it would go through my hand, I would, of course, shake, and then if it stuck through my hand and into the wood, I couldn't pull it off. If we all saw that happen, or you saw that happen to me, that would bother your stomach. It would bother you. Am I right? And then cross my feet and take a spike and stick it through the top of a foot, across another foot, and secure it to the wood. He was wounded. Now, by knowledge of this, we can be justified. We can be made righteous. Now, he was suffering for us, and we need to remember that. How did he suffer? He was wounded, but then in verse 3 it says again, he was bruised for our iniquity. Now, bruise comes when small blood vessels below the skin are broken by the impact of a blow or an injury. Not trying to be crude, but blood leaks out of the vessels and it appears like in a dark mass. And then eventually the body will reabsorb it and it'll go away. Well, we know what it's like to have a bruise. And if it's coming from a wound or some kind of a blunt instrument, well, Christ was bruised for our iniquity. So we have to get this knowledge, okay? It's not just a story. There's a reason it happened. He was wounded for our transgressions. He suffered wounds. But then he was bruised. He suffered bruises. Now, if you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, it doesn't mean you're any worse than anybody else, but it does mean this. If you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to get the knowledge of the one who can take you to heaven. And that is Jesus, okay? He was bruised for you and for me. That's why we bring this up every year, because it happened and it's so amazing. So when they hit him on the head with a blunt instrument, not only probably did it cut, not only did it probably make it swell, but he was no doubt bruised on his head. Then they pulled his bones out of joint. And no doubt he was bruised at the elbow. When it popped blood vessels, it probably left bruises. Pop the knee out of the joint, probably left bruises. And then when they had the crown of thorns go down below his skin, probably bruised around those cuts and wounds. The back probably bruised. But all of this, the Bible says, again, he suffered for us. Now, why did it happen? It's a reminder to us this week. So here's why we want to live for Him. He died for us, so we want to live for Him. Now, most of us are already trying to live for God. You're in church on Sunday. Praise God. But we've got to remember, He died for us, so we want to live for Him. Now, what does the Bible teach? He was wounded for our transgressions. And for this we say, He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace. And we just, even if we leave here thinking, wow, He did it for us. Good. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. So, knowledge of His sacrifice, knowledge of His suffering. I think it's important for everybody here to remind ourselves of this knowledge of His sinlessness. Now, it says here in verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, for He put His soul to grief. And then it goes on to verse 10, He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. But get this, by His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many. Now, the righteous servant means the servant that had done no wrong, the servant that had not sinned. The Bible says in verse 12, He was numbered with the transgressors and He bare the sins of many. You know why it says He was numbered with the transgressors? Because He hadn't done any sin. But then He took on Himself our sins like He had done them and we did not. I heard one person say, it's sort of like you've got this huge debt and a millionaire comes along and he goes to all your debtors and he says, you give me all of his bills. As if I'm the one who owes them. And then that millionaire comes and gives you his bank account and the access to it. So here's the sinless Son of God. And don't take this lightly, but make sure your heart is still saying thank you. The average person sins at least three times a day. That means 365 days would be 1,000 sins a year. Perhaps you've heard this. I'm 58 years old. You know what that means? I've done 58,000 plus sins against God. Now, if I had to take those and stand before God for them, I'd been in big trouble, but I didn't have to because the sinless Lamb took my sin on Him and now I'm righteous and He on the cross took the sins as if He was guilty of my 58,000 crimes. And I don't say that lightly. How many sins are represented in this room? If we have 100 people here, then we've got at least close to 58,000. Add 100, 580,000. Add 100, that's 10. Add 100, we've got 5 million plus sins represented in this room alone. Likely. And when you consider that the sinless Lamb of God took all of our sins on Him so that we could be clean, we can say thank you, and we don't want to take it lightly. Now, there was a girl that was in one of my meetings, and she had been molested by a man. Heinous crime against her, a horrible sin against her. And I can remember trying to help her to get over that guilt. And I told her, you didn't do anything wrong. This guy did the wrong, not you. But you know, she just couldn't let it go. So I remember saying over and over different ways, you didn't do anything. He's the one who did it. So why are you feeling so horrible? And I couldn't get through to her that she didn't need to carry that guilt. Somebody else had done it. He needed to carry the guilt. Well, the guilty person ought to carry the guilt. So what I did, as simple as it is, I'm not a psychiatrist. I do the best I can with the brain that God gave me. And so what came to me was, I'm going to use a post-it note and make a point. So I put a post-it note, and I put on there, G-U-I-L-T, guilt. And so I picked that post-it up, and I put it in front of her, and I said, hey, here's what you can do. You can take this word guilt, slap it right on your shoulder. You can carry the guilt as if you had done something wrong, or you could take that guilt and slap it on this chair. And we'll say this chair represents that guy who did you wrong. And somehow, in her mind, she held it a little bit, and she began to tear up a little bit. And then she finally stood up, and she walked over to that chair, and she just went and slammed it on that chair, representing the guy who had molested her. And she broke down crying because she put the guilt where it belonged. That was good. Anything to help. I'm glad it helped her. But here's the reality with God. You and I are the ones that are guilty, and we never want to forget that the only reason we're going to heaven is because the righteous of God took our guilt on Him. Amen? And for this we say thank you. Now here's what has changed everything. And as a church, we are here because He changed everything. And we don't ever want to forget that. Knowledge of His sacrifice, knowledge of His suffering, knowledge of His sinlessness. He had done nothing wrong, but He who knew no sin became sin for us. And we say, praise God. Now, the last thing that I want to draw our attention to this morning is knowledge of His satisfying. Now, let's take a look at verse 11 again. He, God the Father, shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Now, here's the point of that, the travail of His soul, the suffering of His soul. So God the Father is going to see the suffering of God the Son and be satisfied. And here's the idea. He is saying, as He looked on His Son on the cross, suffering on the cross, and He looked on the sins of man, and He saw that many of them, He knows that there's a consequence for sin, but then He looked at Jesus suffering on the cross, who is suffering to pay the bill, the sin debt, and He said, that's enough. I'm satisfied. Now, basically, we try to make up for our sins, and God is saying you can't make up for your sins, but He can. And what He did will satisfy the debt, will satisfy me that the debt is paid in full. And here's an interesting word, okay? The word satisfied really is the idea of surfeited. And here's what the word surfeited means. It doesn't just mean enough, I'm satisfied. It actually means I've had so much of this that I don't even want anymore. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Now, when I was younger and immature, like my brother Dan still is today, but when I was younger and I was immature, like Dan still is today, back when I was immature, I remember helping a friend of mine build a roof, and when we were done roofing, we said, let's celebrate. You know how we did? Let's go to Krispy Kreme. Now, you people over here, you've got stuff that blows us away, but in America, we're like back in 1920. So anyway, or back in North Carolina. So anyway, we don't have all the cool things that you guys have, but there was a Krispy Kreme not long far away. So we went to Krispy Kreme. And back then, I was in my 20s. I said, how many do you want? He says, I don't know. I think I could eat a dozen. I said, you know what? I think I could too. So we both got a dozen hot glazed donuts. Yeah, I see. Don't judge me. So I see you eating. What you eat? I'll be watching you guys today, okay? But anyway, back then, I decided I'm going to eat a dozen donuts, okay? And he got a dozen, and I got a dozen. And be honest with you, Krispy Kreme's just melts in your mouth, and it's kind of like air almost, you know? But the calories are still there. So anyway, we ate a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts apiece, okay? Only did it once in my life when I was immature like my brother Dan, okay? Now, but anyway, when I was done with those 12 donuts, I didn't want another donut. Now, I enjoyed it, but I didn't want another donut. I was totally satisfied to the point that I didn't want one more bite. Follow me? Now, in a good way, what God is saying by what Jesus went through, the back, the cat of nine tails, and the blood came. The crown of thorns, and the blood came. The bones pulled out of joint. The nail through the hand and through the foot. the sinless Lamb of God, taking the sin on Him as a sacrifice for lambs, would not take away the sins. The blood of the Lamb of God would. And so here's what happens. God looks down and He saw the travail of His soul and He said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I've had enough. I don't want any more suffering for sin. It's enough. I don't want any more sacrifice, any more suffering. In fact, it's more than enough. I don't want any more hurt over this sin. And here's what He's saying. All the sins that we've done, and as I mentioned, over 5 million of them, just represented probably by this room, God looks down and He says, it's enough. So none of you are going to have to suffer in hell if you've come to Me. I'm satisfied. In fact, it's more than enough. Now, there are a couple of applications there, and we'll be done. Number one, there might be some of you that have gotten away from God. How many of you have accepted Jesus already as your Savior? Would you say an amen? Now, if you have, how many of you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior would be willing to admit that you still have a sin nature? Would you raise your hand if you still have one? If you don't have your hand raised, the person sitting next to you will tell me you have a sin nature. But sometimes as believers, we forget, though I'm not justifying sin and I'm not excusing sin and I'm not saying it's okay to live any way you want, I am telling us this. What Jesus did on the cross was more than enough to take care of the sins we did and the sins that we've done since we've been saved. And sometimes we feel like, well, we've gotten so far away from God, we can never give forgiveness because we knew better and we still did things we shouldn't do. And I'm not making light on sin. And please believe me, I will not this week be light on our sins, including mine. But I am saying we've got a Savior that has done enough and even more than enough, that even after we're saved, we don't have to worry, can we ever have right relationship with God? We can, because Jesus made it, and it was more than enough. So if you're away from God, don't stay away from God. He died for you, sacrifice. So He wanted you. That's why He did this. And so come back to Him and say thank you and live for Him. But then the other application again is there might be somebody here that you feel like you've been in the worst of sins. Well, maybe you have been. Maybe you've done more than I've done. Maybe not. Do you know that I was saved from a life of drinking and drugs? Did you know that? I got saved when I was 6 years old and I never had my first can of beer. I got saved when I was six and I never had my first drug. Never got high once. But I was saved from a life of drugs and drinking because I never got into it because of Jesus. But I'm thankful. I'm not proud. But whatever your background is, you might need to be saved from some sins. But I'm going to tell you, what Jesus did is more than enough. It's not just enough. And you say, well, I'm so ashamed. Well, I've done these bad things. God would never want me. You know what? He wouldn't have taken Mike Pelletier if it wasn't for Jesus. And He won't take you without Jesus. But if you come to Jesus, it will be more than enough to take you to the presence of God and your home in heaven. Now, being Palm Sunday, Hashiana, Hosanna, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There was a gentleman I was speaking to before the service, and we talked about that day being such a significant day, and we're going to be celebrating it all week. We use the word day. The day is not always referring to one day, but it's talking about like back in the day when we were kids. Back in the day, we keep the door open and never lock it. That wasn't one day. That was many days. And so when it talks about the day that we rejoice in, it's not just the death of Christ, but it's when He came to earth and He went through the triumphal entry. And as He went through the life on earth, and he never sinned, and then he died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, the day of Jesus Christ, that day and time period of Christ has changed everything about this day. So we are who we are because of the knowledge that we got of the righteous servant Jesus. And for this we say thank you. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, how many of you would say, Brother Mike, I may not be everything I should be, but I do know this. There was a day when I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior, and I know without a doubt that I am on my way to heaven because of it. If you can say that you know your sins are satisfied, the sin debt is paid, he was wounded for you and you accepted that sacrifice for you. You were guilty. You should have been punished. You should have died in hell. But you took the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus, and he died so you did not have to or will not have to. And if you have accepted Jesus and you're sure of that, would you lift up a hand if you're sure of that? If not, don't be embarrassed if you don't understand it. Don't be embarrassed. Just help me see the need. All right. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, is there anybody here who would say, Brother Mike, I don't believe I ever did accept Jesus before. But what you reminded us of today is that he died so that we would not have to. He suffered so we would not have to. And I may not understand it all, but I have no problem admitting I'm a sinner and I need a sacrifice for my sin. I need Jesus to save me from them. Now, we won't force you to do anything you don't want to do. We won't make you join the church. We won't make you put any money in an offering. We're not about that. We just want to help you know you're going to go to heaven. And if you don't know you're going to heaven and you have no problem admitting you're a sinner and could be humble enough to say, pray for me, preacher. I don't know I'm going to heaven and I want help. Would you just be kind enough to lift up your hand? I'll see it. You put it right back down. Nobody's looking but me. And I will include you in a prayer. I won't say your name or where you're sitting. I'll just pray for you. So if that's you, would you just lift up a hand anywhere in the building? I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I'm a sinner and I need my sins removed. All right. If you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to know this. Now, who here today would say, Brother Mike, this was helpful to me to begin to, in my heart, say, Dear God, thank you again for what you've done for me. And if you needed that or it blessed you and you just say, God, thank you for what you did for me again. Would you just lift up a hand in a way to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.